Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Three Quarter Time podcast. Now, in this episode, we're going to unholster our pistols. We're going to discuss the shootout in G-Town on Thursday night, the Dogs and the Cats game, one of the games of the season. We're going to talk about Hawthorn and Brisbane, the Classy and the Contested Lions. They got over a frazzled Hawthorn side. We're going to talk about North versus Collingwood. How the Keepers off Kangaroos couldn't keep it off for long enough against the tsunami-like Collingwood. We're going to talk about Melbourne and Sydney, how the destructive Ds pummeled the Bleeding Bloods. We're also going to talk about some international things, a lot of things happening in the international sports market, in football, world football, NBA, and in tennis as well. So I'm Janus. I'm joined with Cookie and T-Lub, lads.
Janus, hello.
How was our weekend?
Mate, the vocabulary in that intro was something I've never heard of. That was just beautiful.
That was phenomenal, just top shelf.
Was that off the tongue, Janus, or was it rehearsed?
Off the brain.
Off the dome.
Off the crondolium. That is phenomenal.
It's beautiful, Janus.
Yes, but your weekends, how were they? Boys, what did we get up to?
Cookie.
What did I do? I went to Torquay for three-year anniversary with my lovely partner.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, it's getting a long time, but it was a great weekend. It was actually really nice weather, which was really good.
Was it cold?
No, it was like 20.
That's beautiful.
I'm training for like a 50K run, so I did like I did half of it yesterday, which was good fun. A little practice.
Did you do the same route that you did that other time?
No, I did leg one of that thing. So I'm running leg one and two this year, not leg three.
That's phenomenal. Yeah.
Leg three.
What about you, T-Dub?
Me? Went to the footy on Saturday. Waste of a day. Then not much else, to be honest. Mainly worked. On other
relaxed, day,
just worked. Really, that was beautiful. It. A lot of administrative needs. So yes, that was my weekend. Janus, what about you?
Well, uni is ramping up, so I was meant to do a bit of work for assignments, but procrastination took a hold of me, and I decided the best way to study would be go to two games of football. So I didn't do much work, but went to the footy.
That's just
no study at halftime.
I probably should have in that Sydney game. I probably would have been better suited to do some work, but oh well.
Great, Janus. We love that. Well, let's kick us off Thursday night. Janus, you didn't make the trek.
I'm sure
you were eagerly watching. Ooh. What did you think of the game?
Well, it's another close game or another good game that Geelong's been a part of this year. We've had the Collingwood game, we had the St Kilda game, we had the Giants game. So there's been a few
Hawthorn.
Hawthorn game Easter Monday, of course. Like there's been absolute top shelf games, and Geelong's been involved in a lot of them. And it was a bit of a big difference between last round where we only gave up 39 points to this round where we gave up 120. But it was sort of a return to the Malcolm Blight sort of era where if they kick 20 goals, we'll kick 21 kind of thing.
Yes.
But yes, I was barracking hard, really getting involved in it. Would have stung if we lost. It would have been quite painful. But the one thing I noticed out of that game was the one sort of played a bit like Tottenham. We sort of had a very high defensive line. Like our halfbacks found themselves way past the arcs at some point to try and pressure the Bulldogs. So it was a real game plan to stop the forward handball. So you had the halfbacks pushing up a lot. So you found O'Connor and Humphreys, those sort of halfback players, really pushing up into the ground to pressure the Bulldogs' ball carriers, sort of either get them to do a big looping handball that the defenders can intercept or get them holding the ball. O'Connor particularly did a had some nice intercept marks in the middle of the ground. He did a really good rundown tackle on Jason Johannesson, and our half forwards who pushed up as well to sort of impact. They thrive on that sort of turnover pressure situation. So Manor and Myers and Close, they get the ball off those turnovers and move the ball really quickly going forward. And I mean, at the end of the day, the Dogs had their chances. They were severely inaccurate. They had five posters. And I'm not sure if you saw at the start of the game, Joel Frazier was warming up and he hit the post. He hit the post three times. So technically, they had eight posters.
I'm sad for you about those posters. Most posters in a game this year, the Dogs, round six, had six posters. Round 11, just gone, they had five. Round two, they had four.
Damn.
And all other teams have only had three max.
So it's magnetized. They're magnetized.
So the Dogs just love just pinging it against the woodwork.
Bang.
But yeah.
What are some famous posters we've had in our time?
Tom Hawkins in the 2009 grand final.
Oh.
Steel side bottom in 2011. Oh, no, it was Wellingham. Ballantyne.
Sicily on the post against Port.
Oh, rip.
Ballantyne was the most famous one. After the siren in the derby, ran around and hit the post. What else?
Great shout, actually.
Fev against Hawthorne, 2009, when he had a shot with like 15 seconds to go and Ruffy kicked eight and Fev kicked six, I think. And Fev had a shot and he hit the post from 20 metres out. What else? Lee Matthews breaking the post. What else?
There's a good one.
What else? Ryan Mansell last year in round one against Carlton. Richmond had all the momentum. He snapped into the post from basically the top of the square.
Yeah,
didn't Lynch heading into the post one time at the top of the square as well?
Hamish McIntosh.
Oh. Do you know who that is, Jonas?
No. Oh, no. Oh. I don't think so.
Played for the Cats.
And the Ruse. At Easter Monday, he had a shot from about 20 metres out. The man on the mark was, I think, just inside the top of the goal square and he hit the post at quarter time. Shannon Grant, we discussed a few weeks ago.
Yes.
True. Anyway, some great posters there.
Yes.
I love that.
Really just went off the dome there. That was just...
It's an iconic part of our game.
That's unbelievable. The post. Yes.
Just the dink of the ball just spazzing out.
Yes.
And then the camera just pans in the top of the goalpost and it's just swaying.
Yes.
It is beautiful. They're not stuck into the ground. Well, like the NFL, if you hit the post with the ball, it's not moving. Surely.
No, you know because it's like that.
Just, yeah.
So it's not going to move. Yeah. Oh, no, it would move. A little bit.
A little bit. Not as much.
Soccer goals move. Well, they rattle. Hit the bar, it's do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Rugby posts.
Now, the Dogs, inaccurate. Played well, though. I'll give them that. Mm. They're still playing well, the Dogs. Definitely could have won the game, but credit to the Cats. Let's go to Saturday afternoon. Hawks versus the Lions.
Yep.
I was expecting big things for this game, actually. I was expecting us to turn up. We didn't. We did not turn up. To put it lightly, and with about 5 minutes to go in the second quarter, it was pretty tight. You felt like the Lions were on top, though, with the way they were controlling the ball, and we were kind of getting lucky, I guess, with some goals. But then the Lions really broke it open, and we got to see them in their full strength. I tell you what, when the Lions are up and going, jeez, there is no one better in the AFL to watch. They are so good.
Yeah.
And like the Ashcroft boys are just taking the mickey. When Cameron's playing well, the Lions are almost unbeatable, I swear.
It's a good barometer.
Yeah. The Hawks got exposed. Big match Friday night against the Pies.
Yes.
Anis, what did you see at the game?
Well, I was sort of surprised. I thought the Darcy Fort Lloyd Meek matchup was something that they would have sort of exploited a bit. But yep,
good call.
Darcy Fort, I mean, he's got one thing. Lloyd Meek may be a better ruckman and all that, but Darcy Fort's got one thing that Lloyd Meek doesn't. And that's a premiership.
An afro.
The relevance.
Anyway, Darcy Fort
Mick's been beaten the last few
weeks. Yeah, but Fort played well. The Lions just looked so fluid in the way that they were moving the ball. And the way I sort of looked at the game, Brisbane had all the answers. Hawthorn really had to scrap for anything going forward. And Brisbane just had a way to counter it back. Like, McDonald kicked that goal, I think, in the first or the second quarter. And Hawthorn's really wrestling. And the crowd's getting a bit restless, and he kicks that goal. And, like, I was there. You see the crowd, you really feel them go, okay, this is somewhat of a, you know, bit of oxygen back in the game sort of thing. Charlie Cameron then kicks three goals in 2 minutes, and they sit right back down. It was a bit of a hate watch for me, though. So I was up and about when Charlie kicked those three.
Fair enough, Jonas.
They just smashed him around the ball. They just monstered them around the footy. Like, they were plus 17 from clearance, plus 7 out of the middle, plus 20, plus 18 contested possessions. You just...
Yeah.
You let Brisbane dominate you on the outside. It's hard to defend
that.
And plus 23
on tackles as well. Plus 23 on tackles.
It's hard to defend them on the G when they chip it around. But then when you're getting smashed on the inside as well, you're not gonna win many games against them.
Mm.
So you sort of got to beat them inside and then hope that your system, your defensive system holds up on the outside. But
so it feels like both teams sort of, they play quite a similar style as well. So that's why I probably thought.
Nah, not really.
You don't think?
Hawthorn's more just go, like a counter-attack off half-back. Brisbane like to methodically work their way up and then...
But Hawthorn have, I mean...
rely on Sicily's their pressure around the ball.
Form slump. But they also have good kickers.
Yeah, they've both got good kickers. I wouldn't say they play a similar style.
Okay. Yeah.
You very rarely see Brisbane have running chains off half-back. You see methodical plays.
Mm.
Tell you what, one bloke who was very quiet was the Wizard. Four touches.
Oh, that's Cozzy Pickett-esque.
Four touches and zero tackles.
That's poor.
Do you think the Wizards?
You go, Jonas.
Sorry. Do you think the Wizard goes missing in big games against?
No,
I'm going to say no because I saw him play very well in two big finals.
He was in the top five players for Hawthorn in two massive finals.
That is true.
But he was poor, and I would bet him to have a good. If I was a tipping man, I would tip him to have a good game this Friday night. But
remember, he was electric the week before.
Yeah, true.
Like, yeah, he did.
They're small forwards, for goodness sake. He can't play well every week.
Yeah.
And the Wizard, one, he was a Collingwood supporter before he made the trek over to Hawthorn. And
you mean before he got drafted?
Yep, and he was a rising star. His rising star nomination last year was against that game in the pissing wet against Collingwood.
It was a joke, that game. It was an absolute joke.
That was a... Geez,
we were there, Cookie,
We were so clean in the wet that game.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hawthorn are actually quite clean in the wet, surprisingly.
Yeah,
now
very,
let's go
very
to... what was it? Saturday night.
Under the roof.
And the Roos. The Roos put up a good fight. But the Pies were way too strong. Janus, how'd you see it?
North went in with a clear game plan to keep it off them. They really tried to go the uncontested route. Sort of moving around patiently. Sort of back their kickers to actually sort of take on some good kicks and move it quite methodically. And to be honest, I feel like North actually always kind of show up against Collingwood. That's half the reason I tipped them, I think. They actually quite like... Obviously, the choke game, as Harry Sheasel called it last year, but even in 2022 when they played at the MCG, I think North were up that game and they lost close. So they do show up against Collingwood, but they just couldn't do it for long enough. And... players like Nick Daicos and Ned Long really, in the second half, they absolutely came out at halftime and crushed them, exploded them at a centre clearance. Like, Daicos had 16 in the last quarter. Ned Long's building just an impressive run of form. But one of the most delightful things to come out of that game was the Sherry versus Cameron matchup. That was a really good ruck matchup. Two absolute machines sort of going at it. So that was a really good one to was a really good matchup to watch.
Yeah, they good
call. Overrun them. They overran them in 22 as well.
Yeah, exactly. Like they turned a because it was a slog in the first half. It was a bit of a slog. Collingwood were able to turn a slog into a landslide.
Let's be honest, Collingwood just didn't kick straight.
Yeah.
Let's be real. Collingwood were like, I don't know what they were. They just couldn't, they just literally couldn't kick a goal. They were dominating and couldn't score.
Mm.
Like, they had 33 scoring shots to 18.
Yeah.
That's a huge difference. They won by 45, but like that, it was 7-17 to 8-8 at three-quarter time.
7-17
They just couldn't score. And then they finally just kicked goals.
Yeah. Geez, Markov's goal was very impressive. Didn't think he had that in him.
Yes.
Speaking of not having goals in him, I'm not going to give you an opportunity to speak, Janus, but O'Sheen still waits.
Yep.
Anyway.
That was a mung of a session.
After missing his...
When he took that mark inside 50, oh boy, I got excited.
T-Dub.
Yes.
How far can the D's go this year? Because I know I predicted them to rise, I'm pretty sure. I predicted the Swans to fall, so it was a bit of a saving grace game.
Vindication. How far can the D's go?
Can they make
the
eight?
I'm just looking at their draw. No.
Good call.
Too far back.
They lost their first four, didn't they?
Yeah. They play their last four are tough. They play Collingwood, Hawthorn, the Dogs. The last three are tough.
Ooh.
And then they play...
That's not easy.
Carlton, Adelaide, Gold Coast in up there, Collingwood. They've got to play Collingwood twice, and Gold Coast there, and Carlton once, and
Adelaide up there,
Adelaide over there.
They
like playing in Adelaide, but what are they, five?
Good analysis.
I think they're too far back.
Okay.
Yep. Fair enough.
I don't trust them if, like, let's be honest, they kick poorly again. I know they kick straight at the end, but that's just because they're getting cheap junk time goals. They actually kicked poorly. They should have been up by 40 to 60 points at halftime, but they weren't. And it's just that Sydney are not that good. So.
Yeah, valid.
Hmm.
Probably not.
Yeah.
They'll be close. They might finish 10 to 12, but. I think, however, if they do make it, look out. If the D's play finals, they're going to have had some good form and good wins. So look out.
T-Dub, I got another question just quickly. One word answer. Who are you taking? Janus, you can answer as well. Who are you taking? Prime Cozzy or Prime Bobby Hill?
Bobby.
Cozzy.
Oof.
Let's be honest. Let's really be honest here.
One bloke played better in a granny.
Let's be brutally honest here. Bobby Hill's played
here
one.
We go.
Bobby Hill's played one elite game. And it just happened to be a grand final.
Yeah, but Cozzy Pickett's grand final, he had two touches.
Bobby's best. The only reason Bobby Hill is so... They wanted Bobby Hill dropped that year. People forget this.
I'm taking Cozzy.
You can definitely argue for both.
There's arguments for both.
Definitely arguments
for both. Both got a premiership. One's got a Norm Smith from a half of football, which I still don't understand.
Let us know what you think in the comments. Who are you taking? Cozzy
or Bobby?
Cozzy or Bobby.
Now, what was the rest of the round? We had the Giants with a great win over the Blues.
Yes.
You were at the game. The Eagles.
Unfortunately.
Thumped. Mm. The Eagles get pumped. We had Fremantle in the wet over the Power.
It was pissing down.
Smack the pet.
I think Frio now are undefeated as what's the Indigenous name? Waleyap or something? How do you say it? Oh, jeez, I'm going to get baked. But close, they are now undefeated as they are now they're undefeated as their Indigenous name.
Bang. And so, we also had the Dons too good over the Tigs. So that was the round of football.
Boring game of footy I've ever seen in my life. That was such a hard watch.
Yeah.
When was the last good Dreamtime game? Oh, it was the Durham game.
The game that ended.
Dimmer's last game.
Yeah, pretty much the game that sacked Dimmer.
The Sam Durham effect. Yeah.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
And we had the Suns too good over the Saints. That was a tough watch as well. The Saints. I don't know if anyone watched.
That is a
like
typical Ross
quarter.
Lyon game.
Jeez, the Saints dominated in the second or third quarter. I can't remember which one it was. And they just couldn't. They kicked like one goal, seven or something.
Mm. Just on that game.
Now.
Oh, I was just going to say, just on that game, what do we think of Ross's comments and give us the fire?
Who cares?
Fair enough.
A storm and a teacup, probably.
I find it funny.
They're both right.
Yeah.
The Gold Coast are the AFL's Nepo baby. And St Kilda, focus on yourself. You have 13,000 people there.
That's a good point as well.
You've won one premiership however many years, and you've got the fourth least amount of members. Like, come on.
Yep, great call. Well summed up from the T-dub.
Sorry, I'm just too matter-of-fact sometimes.
Another thing, we won't go into it too much, but you can clearly see the outcome deciding MRO cases this round. For example, Callum Mills gets one week for his action. If Spargo gets knocked out there, 3 weeks easily. I don't know if anyone saw the Connor McDonald elbow at the back of the head. I think got off completely, or maybe it was a fine. If Connor McDonald gets knocked out there, it's like 3 weeks easily. And then the Pierce one, three weeks, kind of going for the ball, kind of not. But yeah, you clearly see how the outcome of the player decides the weeks, pretty much. Mm. Pretty clear. Now, I'm just going to interject, and I'm going to say the game of the round. So, 26 of the 5th.
Yes.
And does anyone remember a game from 2013 where Jared Petrenko put the Crows in front with about 17 seconds left against the North Melbourne Roos. Exactly. They were down 4 goals in 4 minutes with 4 minutes to go.
Here we go. It's a goal. Can you believe it? It's extraordinary.
Oh.
That was just... I remember that game, watching it live, vividly. Vividly remember watching it.
It's such a perfect Sunday Arvo game, that.
Yep.
3:20 on a Sunday with Bruce commentating. Oh,
Bruce and Dennis, just something about footy and Bruce and Dennis.
Anyway, that's the game. The Crows fans will, without a doubt, remember that game.
Yeah.
North were pretty good back then as well. North were good.
What's a game like that that you remember from a Hawthorn perspective? Like a home and away game like that.
Coming back.
Just a game that just stands out, just randomly stands out in memory that not many people will remember.
Random one I always remember when we beat the Dogs, when Bob Murphy did his knee and Cicely Dobbs on from like 55 to win it.
Yes.
I remember that.
Yeah, 2016 round 3.
Yep, exactly. Jonas, what's a game you remember just randomly?
Just a random Cats game that holds value.
Round 3, 2022. I mean, it's not random, but I do think about it a lot. When we were down by like 35 points against Collingwood,
that's
at three quarter time.
That's completely valid.
And we came from the clouds, and Jez kicked like three or something four. I don't remember, in the last quarter, and we got up by like 15 points. That was also Joel Selwood's game to overtake
Sticks.
Sticks as most games played as a captain for a club. That was a good game.
Because Carlton have never won a premiership, right? I've got so many of these games, like in the vault. We beat North one day in 2013 by a point. We're up by like 5 goals, and then North were just coming, and we hung on by a point on a Friday night. That was amazing. Probably 2015 when we beat Port. We hadn't won a game in Australia. We'd won one game for the season, and we beat Port by 4 points at the MCG, and John Barker was the coach. And it was so exciting. I wasn't there, but I just remember it. Probably the one I was there was probably the North game.
Nice.
Or when we beat Melbourne 2 years ago. We kicked the first 3 goals of the last quarter. And then Melbourne were just coming and coming and coming. And then Petrarca had the ball touched on the line by Marchbank with 40 seconds to go or something. That's probably the most excited I've ever been as a Carlton supporter, because I knew when that siren rang, we were playing finals. Even though we had to win one of our last two, I'm like, we are not losing to both of Gold Coast and GWS. We're playing too well. We're playing finals.
How beautiful.
Yes.
Okay. Jonas, take us across the river, down the road, and over the ditch. Ange, what a win.
Well, I'm not going to start with Ange. There's a little bit going on. So, Napoli, they win the... So, we're going world football. We're going to the Serie A.
Yes.
So, Napoli, they win the Serie A.
Surely that's pronounced Got Napoli.
No, it's Napoli, I think.
I'm just staring, Scott, great man.
Scott McTominay, who is a Scottish midfielder, used to play for Manchester United. He's absolutely balling out in Italy. He wins. He comes across from United to Napoli at the start of the year, and he just absolutely fit right in because they were playing him in his preferred position as an offensive midfielder. At United, he was playing as a defensive midfielder, but he's got the offensive traits of all good offensive players, and he wins the Serie A Player of the Year. So well done to Scott McTominay. He's a baller, as Kane and Kingy would say. And then just on that, the manager for Napoli, Antonio Conte, he is now... that makes his win with Napoli makes him he won a three-peat league title with Juventus. He went over to Chelsea, won a league title with them. He went to Inter Milan, won a league title with them, and now he's won a league title with Napoli. So he just gets the Serie A. He gets how to play in the Italian leagues.
Does he win in his second year though, Jonas?
No.
Oh.
Now speaking of the man who wins in his second year, big Ange Postecoglou. His 17th place Tottenham get up over the 16th place Manchester United in the final in the Europa League final in Bilbao. I actually woke up for this game. Unfortunately, it was probably one of the worst games of football I've ever seen. It was rubbish. Just an absolute sort of slog nightmare. Just block thing to wake up to.
I like finals are like that though.
At 5 in the morning. But what was good about that is obviously Ange said that he always wins things in his second year. But throughout the entire league campaign, which to be fair has been quite disastrous, Tottenham fans or, you know, Premier League watchers in general have probably been calling for Ange's head because they're sort of complaining that he can't defend. Can't defend. Like, they can score goals, but they leak goals like a sieve. But in that final, credit to him, he said, it's a final. I'm going to change the way I play. I'm going to defend. So he proved that he can defend. And they gave up possession to United. United had so much of the ball. Tottenham defended so deep and just got them on the break. But the goal that was scored was just an absolute just no class.
Will they re-sign him is my question.
I reckon they have to. Mate, Tottenham have not won a trophy in... Well, before then, they haven't won a trophy in 17 years. They have managers like Mourinho and Pochettino who take them to Champions League finals and they don't win. Like, they haven't had a... how can you sack a bloke after he's giving you your first trophy in 17 years? I don't get it.
When we sack Budenholzer after 1 year.
So, it was a pretty... you know, slow going game, but all us Australians wanted Ange to get up, and it does raise something that's been quite a theme in world football, particularly English football this season. It's the year of the bird. So, Crystal Palace, who are the Eagles, they won the FA Cup. Newcastle, who are the Magpies, they won the Carabao Cup. Liverpool, who have the Live a Bird as their logo, they won the Premier League. Tottenham, who are the Cockerel, that they won the Europa League. And here's another thing, Charlton Athletic, who are the Robins in League One, won the League One won the League One title, and they've been promoted to the Championship. So,
tell me something about the AFL, Jonas.
So basically, up the Hawthorn, Adelaide. Hawthorn, Adelaide, Collingwood, all the Eagles are due. So take that how you will. And just another heartwarming story. Sunderland, they get a 2-1 win over Sheffield United in the championship final playoff for promotion.
Before you go on, T-Dub, your father is a big Sunderland man. Can you describe the emotions he displayed?
Basically, My dad's not a big soccer fan. He's not a big any other sports fan. He loves footy, loves the Blues. But when Sunderland got relegated, he sort of felt bad for them and then started following. And then he found out they were making the doco. And then he's like, oh, yeah, I'll jump on him. And then he watched the first season. And I was like, okay, I'm right on them now. And then they capitulated and bottomed out. And he's been sort of loosely following them ever since. And we were watching the highlights because he hadn't seen the result. And we watched their like 15-minute highlight package. And when they scored in the 95th minute, he was basically tearing up. He was so proud of Sunderland. He was so happy.
Mm.
Yes. I've got a bit of soccer knowledge for once. I think I may be wrong on this. But West Ham have been dethroned as the lowest placed team in the Premier League standings to win a major trophy. They held the record when they won the Conference League from 14th, and now Tottenham have dethroned them winning the Europa from 17th.
Yep. Good stat, big man.
I was proud of that. I thought, I'll share this with a great man.
It's a very good stat. Nice. Speaking of West Ham, we did get a 3-1 win over Ipswich.
Had to slide that
Jared Bowen. Jared Bowen got snubbed from the England squad.
I don't condone this. This is not on the run sheet, people.
Go Hammers.
In other news, no, we're moving on. We're moving on from football. Right. The NBA. I'll keep it very short. We don't want a Pacers Thunder. We don't want that. It's not good for the NBA. It's not good for the fans. We need the Knicks and the Wolves to really put in an effort here. And I'll tell you what, today the Knicks really put in a shift. Down 20, I saw the season close before my eyes. I saw the vision of Giannis saying, these blokes haven't won a championship. They can't talk about anything. And then I was like, oh, geez, my Twitter is going to blow up if the Pacers win. And then the next cat, Carl Anthony Towns. He had a big last quarter and made it 2-1.
20 points and eight boards in the last.
Yeah. That is huge. So it's a massive game for him both series. T-Dub, what's happening in the world of ice hockey?
Florida 3-0 up over Carolina, over the Hurricanes in the Eastern Conference Finals. Going to script, really. They've won every game easily. They'll win. They'll sweep them. Ooh, they'll win tomorrow. And the Oilers are 2-1 up over the Stars. The Stars won the first game, scoring 5 in the third period to overthrow the Oilers in game one. And then the Oilers have won the last two games. So
they're up to conference finals.
Yep. Same stage as the NBA. Yep. Just like basically the exact same stage. Game four is tomorrow. So, yes, very tight. And shout out to Rafa as well. He got his memorial, got his plaque, and called Philippe Chaplier. And he's a legend of the sport and deserves all of his appraisal.
He isn't
dead, though. Can you say that stadium one more time, Tim?
Hey?
Can you say that stadium one more time?
Philippe Chaplier.
Ooh, jeez, a Frenchman in the house.
What can I say?
That is just beautiful.
I mean, you could say I'm involved in the world of tennis.
True, but I've still never heard you say that stadium.
What? Yeah. What's the other one? Oh, I can't remember the other name. I can't remember.
Arthur Ashe.
Arthur Ashe. That's USA.
Oh, it's Ashe, not Ashe. Hello, it was Ashe.
Pretty sure it's Ashe. Rod Lava. John Cahill.
Alrighty.
Margaret Coote. Yes, here we go. Time for some unsungs, I reckon.
I agree.
Time for some unsungs.
I agree. Okay. I'll kick us off.
Yep.
In T minus 5 seconds.
Oh, bang.
I'm going to go to Thursday night.
Here we go.
A lot happened Thursday night. It was a great game of football.
It was.
And this bloke I know Janus has bad memories of, but I'm going to go him. I'm going to go Shawnee Manor.
Oh.
Had 2-21.
That's a good game. That's a
500 meters gamed. Gained. That is exactly what you need to do as a small forward.
Yep.
Okay, cool.
Show some love to Shawnee Manor. He's a bit of a knob, but he's a bloody good footballer. Despite what anyone thinks.
Oh, yes. Janus?
I actually haven't gone with a cat or a dog. I've gone with a bloke who he has gotten a vote. He has been unsung before. But he was quite sung on the broadcast if you were watching it. I'm going with Ned Long.
Oh,
nice. Good call.
Ned Long. Just good team player, finds a way to bring his teammates into the game. He had 29 touches. He had 17 tackles. He had 6 clearances, and he had 15 score involvements. So that is an absolute game. He just seems to be, he can supply good pressure, and he can always bring his teammates into better positions to score goals. So, Ned Long.
14 tackles is crazy.
17.
Yeah,
jeez.
That is a heap of tackles.
That's pressure.
T-Dub, what have you got for us?
Scratch, Shannon Neal, kick 5.
Yeah, oh, yes. Nice.
Yeah.
Kick 5, that's 16 bad. Touches. Couple
best
of hit-outs.
Yeah.
Kick 5.
5 shout straight, out. Wasn't it?
5 straight. Him and Jez kicked 11 straight.
11
them.
Straight. Yeah.
Five to Scratch, 6 to Jez.
And they only Snowball, won by like 10 points or something. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Shout out Scratch.
And he moves well up the ground too. Like he presented really well high up the ground. And
he's making GMHBA a bit of a hunting ground, Janus.
Yes.
I believe the last time he got votes from the unsung heroes was against the famous Dockers.
So when he kicked 1 and had 9 disposals.
Well, we're still figuring it out.
Something like that, yeah.
Let's get a stat line from that game.
Don't worry about it. No.
Getting it up. What did he have?
He'd kicked one and had 9 disposals.
How many score involvements? I think that was what I did it for.
No, you did it for crashing packs.
Oh, yeah. I was still figuring it out, but he deserved it today.
He does. Shout out. The other one I was tossing up with was Murphy Reid. Kick 4.
Oh, yeah.
Kick 4 and had 18. So honourable mention Murphy Reid, but you will not be featuring in the votes, young man, I'm afraid.
So what should we do here?
Mana 1, Neil 2, Long 3.
Long 3.
But 5 is 5. It's the only thing I'll say.
5 is 5.
I'm willing to switch Long and Neil around.
Yeah, 5 is 5.
The win-win.
Only because of the opposition.
It's against the Dogs. Yeah, it's against the Dogs.
That's true. Yeah. You're 29 against North.
I do like that. Yeah.
Sure, T-Dub and I could run around and get 15 against North.
That's a great call. Mate, put me at half back. I'll be the Lizard. what my nickname be? Probably the Giraffe.
About you, James? Yeah, the Flash is taken. We've already got Bally McDonald from the Hawks.
The Flash. Oh, God.
It can't be the Flash, is what I'm saying.
The Badger.
The
protected species.
The Badger, probably.
I'm calling you the Badger now.
Oh, that's just luxurious.
I'm not good enough to be a Wolverine, but I'll be a Badger.
That's great. That is so good. Cookie. Let us know in the comments what your nickname was.
What was yours, big Cookie?
Mine, ooh.
Lank?
It was Lanky Liam.
Yes.
I called Lanky a lot in high school. I remember that.
You were Lanky in high school, let's be real.
I still am. Anyway.
I was T-Dub throughout high school.
I was Janus. Came out of the womb, Janus.
That's beautiful. Now let's finish off the beautiful episode 13 with some predictions.
Yes.
Now, what am I going to go here?
I'll start us off. I don't ever start us off with predictions. I'll kick us off.
Kick us off.
Hawks bait the Pies.
Ooh.
You can't rest all these players and get away with it. Time for Hawthorn will bet Collingwood. Just remind everyone that they can play footy.
I like it. Jonas, what have you got?
I'll go the Suns to win by 4 goals against Fremantle.
I was going to go Fremantle beat the Suns.
Oh, here we go. Got another matchup. We love this.
Murphy Reid kicks 3.
Oh!
Ben Long kicks 4.
Ben Long is having such a good year. Jeez.
Jeez, you've tipped the Dockers in the Gold Coast. This is ballsy.
Remember the last time the Dockers travelled? They thumped the Giants. And they're going to back it up against the Suns.
Nepo, baby. I love the confidence.
Here we go, another one. All right.
This is good.
Now, speaking of predictions, I have fallen short in the previous week's prediction. I tipped the Tigs would beat the Dons by 6 goals. That did not occur, and I was made to look like an idiot. So, we still have a pending forfeit from Janus. I'm going to get him a Hawthorn jersey very soon. But, Janus, did you have anything you wanted to return serve with?
Yeah, I'll give you that one. Where is it? I'll give you that one.
Okay.
You can wear it.
Oh, we'll beautiful. We'll have a phenomenal
we'll have a switch
episode.
Up. Yeah, we'll have a switch up. We'll do a trade.
Week.
No, well, to be fair, I can't really think of anything off the floor. I'm angry.
If I was you, Liam, I'd make Janus wear a Hawthorn jersey to GMHBA.
Oh. Well, we can't change, but now I really want to get the now I really want the Dockers to get up.
Hey, the Pies could do a number on the Hawks.
They definitely could.
I don't really know what my line. I reckon my line is probably 5 goals, safety net.
So if the Pies beat the Hawks by 7 goals, you've failed.
I'm in trouble, yeah.
Fair enough.
Depending on the result of this game.
Depending on how much the Dockers beat the Suns by.
Oh, yes. We love the confidence. Confidence is key. Go out and have a big last quarter, everyone.
big confident last quarter.